You know, it's incredibly rewarding to be a small business owner. Yeah, God, it is. Because, you know, when I get my podcasting shoes custom made by the finest slipperies in all of Los Angeles, and those slipper bills just keep mounting, I just think to myself, you're doing it for the people, Henry. You're doing it for the people. And I'm passionate about my work, and I have a lot on the line. So let Verizon help champion your small business dream. Whether you own a small business, or scaling one, or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon Business Experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon Business Expert. Plus, Verizon Business Experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Remember, there's no such thing as small businesses, only small people. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to Verizon.com/small business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories.
Yes. So this weekend, Natalie and I had a romantic roundabout.
I saw your picture on Instagram, you staring at whiskey as if it was the love of your life.
It is, besides my beautiful wife. Today is our anniversary. We did it for our anniversary. Yeah, 2 years.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow, who would have thought?
I'm an expert.
Look at that.
Being married. The big thing.
You're 5 years away from the 7-year itch.
I think I've been itchy. I honestly, and it's not sexual, unfortunately. Good. I think it's just my skin. The way to save a marriage? Two bathrooms.
I completely agree with that. I've heard that mentioned on House Hunters many times on HGTV. Do you think it's just to keep the air of intimacy or just like the level of respect where do you not want to hear her take a dump or does she just not want to hear you do anything whatsoever in your true form?
I'll watch her pee. I'll watch her shit. I don't care. We don't do that though. We don't care. But I don't want her to deal with my...
So it's more of a you thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
Isolate me. Isolate the husband. But
I agree.
We were out on a lake, and I got to tell you, it's creepy out there. I don't like lakes.
Why is it creepy?
You know why it's creepy? It's, well, number one, lakes don't move.
Well, I mean, they move a little bit with the wind.
They're just big puddles.
Okay, that is true.
And lake people... Like, lake living is a style of life where they're so used to life moving in a very slow pace.
Yes.
And they like things to remain exactly the same.
Well, don't bother me. I'm a local. That's why they moved out there. And then you're coming in from the big city. You're disrupting their flow. You're disrupting their life.
I'm supporting
the
town.
Take it easy.
I'm supporting the town. I'm coming here. Yeah, I might have my neon green micro shorts on.
You're going to get kicked out of the Applebee's.
But I will say, I had my nothing but trouble shirt on from B-U-T-T. Night Channels.
Yeah.
From a tall boy who is, it's great shirt, but it's his demon holding his two big butts. Yeah. And we were out at some place.
We get it.
And some guy looked at me and said, hey man, nice shirt.
That's you what could, you want.
But then he was like, nice shirt. But let me show you how I really love it. And his girlfriend was standing in front of him online with her watching phone. And he just starts digging into her ass, right? Like just grabbing and folding the meat. Like,
well, that's very sweet, isn't it?
Yeah, brother, me too. And I was like, I like butts. But this is just a fun shirt.
Right. Sure. Yes, indeed. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry. Those are the locals you can come to expect from places like Big Bear. That technically is all the dream, isn't it?
It could be, but the problem is that it's
It is fun to roll into a lake town because it is like an 80s comedy.
It's great.
But they still believe Reagan is president there.
Well, we have a lot of stories to get to today. Also, Henry, I know that you want to make a public, you have a public statement you would like to make about you not being able to figure out what words mean. This is a little bit of Wheel of Fortune, the last podcast on the Left Side Stories edition. On last week's episode, we were told that a curse word, it involved a T,
yes.
Star T. We said that it may be the word tart because it's British.
It was British and we don't know. And certain words are more offensive across the pond.
Absolutely, because you can
like
see the
sea. Fanny means pussy over
means
there.
Means pussy, and for here, it just means a place to put your keys, a place to put your wallet if you're a professional wrestler, in a little pack right below your navel. Also, the word see you next Tuesday. They say that like it's not like it's like, oh, it's like saying like ribeye steak here in America.
Cunt means friend there.
It really does. And you, oh, you went there.
Oh, I did say
that. Wait until we hear about that. So anyway, the word tart that we said, we speculated it was tart.
I just get, you know,
evidently it was not.
There's certain email corrections that we get that I'm like surprised by. The amount of people that said, it's not tart, it's twat.
Twat. Twat is the word we're looking for.
I'm going to say I got 25 emails to say, how dare you? How dare you get it wrong? It's twat,
it's
not
twat.
Tart.
Yeah,
we
twat.
Don't even think tart's a bad word. My sister's a fucking tart.
Oh, my goodness. Well, don't call her a twat, though. That's bad.
Apparently, a twat is a curse. I mean, twat is a curse word everywhere.
It's not really used that much, though. As a matter of fact, if somebody called me a twat, I would actually stop.
I'd laugh.
I would stop fight mid-conversation and be like, you got me? I think that's a great term for what I am being right now. I am being a twat. I'm going to back out of this conversation. The fight is over. I concede. You have won, sir.
If you drop a twat on me,
woo!
It's like, what hand do we get here?
Oh, wow. What did I do wrong? I'm actually going to look in the mirror like Michael Jackson said. Yes, a mirror was a seven-year-old's butthole to Michael Jackson, but... And he could have made a change on that. He could have said no to that.
It's interesting because in the song, The Man in the Mirror means that he put himself in the mirror.
I looked in the mirror and I said, am I being a twat? And if you are, if you do find yourself being a twat, you need to make a change.
Make yourself a torrent.
Make yourself better.
And we actually got a really good update. We did get a good update from our listeners talking about it because we want to know if parents know that they're cursing.
Yes. Do they, though?
This is so much more important than the Supreme Court hearings going on right now. I honestly think this is really the news that really, really matters.
Yes, indeed.
But listeners, got a lot of listeners came back. The parents, they seem to have the intelligence of about a young child, and they may not understand quite what they're saying, but they can understand the reaction they get from words that they use, which maybe, so when they see people kind of go, oh,
woo!
Every time they start screaming twat over and over again in the zoo. They live on the reaction, and eventually they start a podcast.
I love what they're up to. Well, speaking of podcasts, we actually have to start this one. I want to start with this story, so I'm just going to put on the conductor's cap.
Choon, choon, choon,
whoa,
choon.
The train's leaving the station.
I just said choon, choon.
It's a strange train. All right, this story, I started last week's episode with a very intense story about Marty Jannetty. I didn't quite realize how intense it was going to be as the story went on. And then as I was saying, I was like, this is a hell of, we did a dive in the deep end.
Yep, we pull it back up. Well, we're going to start on a high note this time.
We're going to start on something much lighter than the horrible past of Marty Jannetty. A man. Man pooped in a box at a Michigan major. It's M-E-I-J-E-R.
Major. It might be a major.
It's a grocery store of
it's
some
a chain.
Kind. So a man pooped in a box at a Michigan major, put it back on the shelf. That's according to police. This happened in the Van Buren Township of Michigan. The police are looking for a man, they say, pooped in an empty box before sealing it back up and placing it on a shelf at the Michigan Major. According to Van Buren Township Police Department, the incident occurred at the major store located at 9701 Belleville Road at 3:50 p.m. on October 1st.
Whoa, this happened at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. This is about some form of long form of revenge.
It absolutely is. And you know, from a comedy perspective, the Van Buren Police Department, this was one of the hardest days they've ever had. I'm getting too old for this shit. You know, one of the detectives, it was his last day on the job. He was just like, 8 hours, Sam, and then I'm out of here. And they're like, hey, you getting ready to go vacation up in Big Bear? Are you getting ready, right?
But I actually don't know, because at the same time, there's so much strife, both police-wise and race-wise in Michigan right now, that maybe they chose to focus on this easily bustable crime.
It's not easily bustable. The person is still at large. Whoa. Police posted security footage of the bizarre incident. They put that on their Facebook page, so I'm sure they'll get a lot of militia groups wanting to take down the perpetrator. They took it down at the request of major officials who cited their corporate policy as a reason. So literally, the supermarket was like, could you take down the footage of the person shitting in the box in our store?
Oh, because so he
turns
did
out
it live.
It's bad for branding.
He did it live.
Well, I believe it was CCTV camera.
I don't mean not like on Twitch.
He didn't do it on Facebook Live.
But he didn't arrive at the store with the box filled with shit.
I think he had it loaded up inside, my friend. I think he had it in the old man purse. I think he was stuffing it up there. And so you know he had to time that out perfectly. My question is, why was the box empty in the first place? Is this
he could have done what I did when I was super poor. I used to walk around the supermarket and I used to just eat food out of the box and then just leave empty boxes and leave.
I don't know if that's acceptable at any level of income. I used to do that though with peanuts because they always have the mounds of peanuts. You can pocket a couple of peanuts. It ain't a big deal.
It's hard to open up a bag of peanuts, so they spill everywhere.
And every single parent knows this is going to be a Kathy moment perhaps every Sunday. You know what happens on Sundays at the Pig?
What?
Piggly Wiggly. Free samples.
Oh, I actually didn't know that. I'm used to Costco.
Oh, they do free samples at Costco as well.
Not anymore, thanks to the fucking plague.
Oh, that would be a sad way to get it from a free little Smokey. So the police, they don't know what they're going to do. The man is also stole something before he left the store, which seems to be equally, if not just as bad.
Well, actually, it kind of works out because it's like I'm leaving something. And I'm taking something.
Look at that. Isn't that nice? Every time you take something, you should also leave something. That's a good thing to remember for Halloween as well. Take a treat, leave a treat.
And that's the George Carlin bit of you don't take a shit, you leave a shit.
Thank you, George Carlin. Nothing but the best.
When I look at the end of this article, it's got all the talking about the mystery pooper. And then the first thing that ad that shows up is Billy Joel confirms she's the real Uptown Girl. I don't know why.
Well, he's referring to the Duke in the box. So he was found, or he was seen escaping the parking lot in a light-colored Ford Escape. Interesting enough, a great car to use on a poop mystery. Get out of there with the Ford Escape. No word on yet if the cops have any major leads. I'm not sure if they've done a DNA test on the poop. We'll see what other poop is related to this poop. Perhaps we'll get a DNA test and find out it is indeed he's a relative of the Golden State Killer or something. We just don't know.
We don't know. If you actually, nowadays I hear they're doing a lot of asshole prints. And then if he has been booked for any sort of asshole related crime, they have to go and they have to swab it, and he spreads the cheeks.
Really?
He puts it down on the ink pad and then
woo.
Right on wow. The paper. And maybe they could tell by the circumference of the shit
whose butthole did it. So what you think should happen is that lockdown on the entire store, and then everyone has to drop trowel, show the officer their butthole, they measure the circumference, see who it could have been, and then from there they isolate maybe 7 to 10 suspects.
You know, Kissel,
because it's going to be really tricky.
Kissel, we are in the Valley. We can put together that movie right now. That is a film. That's how I want to film. It's called Bottoms Up.
Oh, my goodness. I think a black couch is involved on that. A black leather couch.
Also, the timing, I think, is very specific.
Mm-hmm.
This is at 4 p.m.
Right.
Work, everybody gets off of work 5 o'clock. This guy's unemployed. Work gets off around 5 o'clock. Right?
What if this is his job? Point, I've been playing Grand Theft Auto 5. I'm really excited for this mission.
But honestly, you feel like he's setting this up for somebody to come. He's mad about he's lost his job.
Sure.
This is about class warfare.
It could be. I mean, there was, we didn't really talk about it too much on last podcast on the left because it's tough to find the story, but the Tylenol killer, for example.
Yes.
Someone poisoned a whole series of bottles. This has happened time and time again. As a matter of fact, there was just a story of someone jamming, perhaps we'll get to that here later on, jamming razor blades in pizza dough. and selling those. People do crazy things.
People want to see the world burn.
My question is, you're in the aisle.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
That's my impression of a child. I'm talking about post poop now. You're a family. You're walking. Your kid wants the freaking jelly beans.
I want the jelly beans.
I don't know what kids are into. Fruit by the foot. Is that still around?
I think it is, but now it's like fruit by the yard.
They're screaming. I think it was a yard. I think it was 3 feet a foot. So it was technically always a yard. And you go to grab, I'm assuming this is a pancake mix or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. What box was it in?
Well, do you know if it's poop or not right away? You've got to feel that it's a different consistency.
I feel that if it is...
a different weight.
I feel, honestly, if this is a more adult
also,
snack...
Also, did somebody open that up before buying the product itself? Because then that
probably
person...
Probably reeked to shit.
Yeah.
And it probably had... brown stains all over it, because they also don't know if he's necessarily I'm going to go a Mark Lemieux with his shit lumps.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if he's going to have the exact aiming for it. To me,
I think it was Mario Lemieux. But Mark Lemieux is
Is he Italian?
Yeah. Every hockey player is Italian.
I don't know. But it depends on what box it is. I think that's pretty, what we're getting towards is if it's in a more adult snack, like, let's say a pinwheel. I find that more of an adult snack. Something with dark chocolate in it. Then this is just, he is fighting the working class because he doesn't have a job and he's bitter. But if it's anything that's towards kids, like, let's say it is a poop by the yard scenario.
Right.
And he puts it in one of those boxes. He's a sex offender.
Do you actually age... Let's say a Gushers. So when you look at a Gusher, much like how in France they will feminize or masculine, or they'll make words feminine or masculine. Do you put an age on, like, you look at a Gusher, you're like, that's a 7-year-old. That's a 7-year-old kind of candy. That candy right there.
Yeah, normally
is 7.
I do. Normally
but if you look at, so what's like a, maybe like a, let's say something, what do we call these very controversial, the corn ones, the ones that are little.
Candy corn.
That's a 50-year-old treat.
Candy corn. Natalie eats candy corn.
Really?
But Natalie just likes pure sugar. She's one of those people who likes pure sugar. But candy corn, I view, is either for the very old or a lot of times it's people with no teeth. And that can be any age.
That's actually really tough to eat with candy corn.
You suck on them.
And to that story I mentioned earlier, this was in Maine. This fella, he worked at a supermarket chain, and he stuffed razor blades into consumers' pizza dough. So don't go there. The grocery store launched their own investigation and reviewed store security footage of Nicholas R. Mitchell. They allegedly caught him tampering with packages of several Portland pizza pie doughs.
That is very traditional Halloween evil mischief.
I kind of agree with you.
It's kind of like a throwback.
Okay. True question. And this is LPO, side stories, LPOTL@gmail.com. Has anyone ever bitten into the razor blade?
I have never experienced it. I know that there are stories of it. I want to say that there was a story that came out not that long ago that actually had the razors and pins put into the candy. But for the most part, when I was a kid, I believe it was a weaponized urban myth because I was already 275 pounds.
And that is a great way to have someone stop eating all the candy.
I guess so. But it didn't stop me, because you know what I did? By halfway in, go, now we start shopping this one, Mom.
No,
don't worry, Mom. I'm taking all of them. Oh, yeah. This mouse feels like, honestly, Mom, I should eat one more because the packaging seems kind of suspicious. Well, let me look into it. Oh, actually, no, it seems perfectly soft.
So you tested all the food for the family, but then they couldn't eat any because you licked all over it, which is what my brother used to do. He used to lick the frosting out of the Oreo, put him back. And I didn't realize that Oreos had frosting until I was like 12 years old.
And I think that's why he's a power bottom.
It isn't that possible. So Hannaford, just lastly here, Hannaford Supermarkets, they issued a recall on all Portland pie cheese and Portland pie fresh dough sold in the deli department. They said after what is believed to be further malicious tampering incidents involving metal objects inserted into Portland pie products, Hannaford has removed all Portland pie products from all shelves and has paused replenishment of the products indefinitely. So Portland pie, they got totally screwed because this guy is putting razor blades in their dough.
I think that it's about war against Portland Pie.
It's possible.
Some of these things, I think some of them, yes, some people want to hurt kids because, oh, they're always laughing and they like the sound of, people like the sound of children's laughter, even though it's awful. But
well,
this is.
You know, there's nothing wrong with the sound of children's laughter.
It sounds like crows on fire.
No, Henry, you can't get to that point. That's the beginning of the end of your mind. You have to like the sound of children laughing.
They always laugh at the wrong things.
They're just laughing because they're having fun. You think that Mr. Bean doesn't make children laugh at the right time?
Hmm.
Put the gun down. That's
That and is because of timing. He has intrinsic timing. Also, when he gets dressed in the car. That's a fun episode.
Rowan Atkinson.
Now,
handsome, by the way. Has a really nice car.
He does?
Yeah.
How do you know?
I was looking at some tablets. He's like super famous.
Yeah, Rowan Atkinson is very famous.
Yes, and he has a super nice car, and he's really like...
He better.
He's not Mr. Bean.
No, he's no. Like, he's Mr. Fox.
He's Mr. Fox, yeah, absolutely.
This is, speaking of Mr. Fox, Mr. Fine, the goddamn bean, he's at the top.
Whoa.
That's how you know where the clitoris is for you fucking nerds. It's at the very top of it.
It's at
so
the
you
very
just find,
top
look
of
for
it.
The bottom. Look for her asshole. Look north of the asshole where the skin is. Bottom of the pussy. That's where the dick goes. All the way to the top. The little hat. That's the clip.
Look at that. So if anyone was wondering how to explain sex to their children, just play them that sound clip. And in no way will your kid be traumatized, much like the person in this next story.
This honestly, there's no one traumatized, as far as I'm concerned, except for the, I'm going to use the word ninny. The ninny that reported this crime.
Really?
And I want to... Maybe we'll parse this out. Let's see what our listeners think.
You are really, you're blaming the old mouthpiece here. You're blaming the person who saw it.
Let's find out what the crime is here.
Okay.
Priest recorded having group sex on altar of Pearl River Church, police say. Three arrested. This happened, I want to say this happened in New Orleans.
Yes, indeed. Right? So, Louisiana.
Where else would this happen but New Orleans?
I love it.
It is. I absolutely wonder. I love this story.
And gotta
I
get back.
Who is guilty and what are they guilty of?
Okay.
This comes from NOLA.com. The lights inside St. Peter's and Paul Roman Catholic Church in Pearl River were on later than usual on September 30th. So a passerby stopped to take a closer look. She went, oh, sounds like someone's having fun. Peering inside, the onlooker saw the small parish's pastor, half naked, having sex with two women on the altar, according to court documents. Fucking awesome.
Not bad,
the
sure.
The women were dressed in corsets and high-heeled boots. There were sex toys and stage lighting. Incredible.
That is amazing.
And a mobile phone as a separate camera were mounted on tripods. This was a production.
Are we talking a ring cam here?
I think there was a ring light.
And when you say production, is this a porno?
It sounds like he might have, I don't know if it was for public consumption. Maybe that's where we're getting the legality of it.
Okay.
Reverend Travis Clark looking real sorry in this mugshot. The eyewitness took a video and called the Pearl River police. So the eyewitness took the time to watch them all fuck on the altar, film her own, I'm saying her and I don't mean to say her.
Sure.
But it's smelling like a...
It could be a bit of a Karen.
I hate the term.
No, don't like it at all. We'll call her a Snoopy Cindy.
We'll call her a big old bitch.
Okay.
She filmed this through her phone, saw them having sex as evidence, right? Then she called the police.
Well,
they arrested Reverend Travis Park, who's the pastor of St. Peter's.
Travis Clark. And you can see in his mugshot, he is looking away, down, and to the left. This is why you need to have someone who knows how to take pictures of dogs be the person who takes the mugshot.
Because
you got to look at the camera. Otherwise, what's the point of the mugshot?
So the Archdiocese of New Orleans, they didn't want to talk about it. It said this priest got arrested and they didn't want to talk about it. But then everything came out in the court filing. They said that he was engaged in a sexual role play while desecrating a sacred space. They charged him for obscenity. Right. Public records additionally show that one of the women, Mindy Dixon, she is a actress and dominatrix.
Okay.
Right. Adult film actor.
Well, you know how difficult it is to make a film these days.
You got to steal a shot every once in a while.
You have to steal a shot every now and again. And of course, churches, regardless of what happens within the walls when it comes to the philosophy exposed or expressed, you know, They're really beautiful things.
I think so. But when it comes down to lovemaking,
Catholic churches.
And Catholics of all of the fucking cults in the Christian world, all they do is fuck. And they all hate condoms. So I don't really understand what the problem is. And then she was with Melissa Chang, and together there were obscene acts that occurred on the altar, which were clearly visible from the street, quote unquote. I still think that the witness went looking for it.
Absolutely. And Melissa Chang, there's also the mugshot of her here. Again, whoever is taking these mugshots, you have got to watch Pecker. Even watch that movie with Jake Gyllenhaal, Nightcrawler. You got to learn how to take the proper pictures. But Melissa Chang, not that it really matters, they can look like anything. But I find her to be quite attractive.
Absolutely.
I think this is a good time. Again, everything consensual.
This is what we're saying. So the straight up. But the one thing of this whole story is that everyone was a consenting adult.
Yes.
This is the story of with Reverend Travis. He was ordained in 2013. He'd recently been named chaplain of Pope John Paul II High School in Slidell, in addition to his duties at St. Pete's and Paul's. At the high school, he succeeded a guy that by the name of Reverend Pat Wagney?
Wagney.
Or Waltney. That might be, it's probably Creole. Pat Waltney reportedly disclosed, right, that he had sexually abused a minor.
Whoa,
in 2013.
Hold on,
so the previous
second.
Priest
was, a
pedo. Was removed, was a pedophile, replacing Travis Clark, replaced a pedophile priest.
Well,
at the high school.
They should be thanking their lucky stars that everyone was of age and
this
it was
is
consensual.
What we are
this
saying.
Is the least scandal in the history of the Catholic Church.
Reverend Clark just loves big, delicious, grown woman breasts.
Wow.
He set all of this up. They are all consenting to it. It's his workplace. Is it? Yeah. Is it necessarily great to do it at your office? I don't know. How all that works.
No,
the church is his fucking office.
I think this is more of like the conference room in the office. His office is behind the church or something. I think this is more just like having sex in the cafeteria when everything is closed down. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Interestingly enough, the Archbishop of New Orleans, they visited the church to, quote, perform a ritual that would restore the sanctity of the altar.
What sanctity does it fucking have? It literally just had a child molester in there. And now, yeah, they, quote, unquote, they showed up. When the police officers arrived, they found two women clad in corsets. Man, I'm horny for this. Two women clad in corsets, high-heeled boots by the altar with lights set up around them as if they were filming some kind of event. You know what they were fucking filming.
Oh, my
goodness.
You
know it wasn't a concert. Clark wasn't at the altar, but an officer who knew Clark to be the church's pastor tried to call him on the phone. And then he watched the phone blow up while they were fucking shooting it. It was all set up.
And so, man.
Well, we better call the pastor and get him over here. And they just watched the phone that was filming blow up.
Well, and Dixon, perhaps this was someone who knew or followed Miss Dixon's career. That, of course, is the adult film actress. She posted on social media a day before that she was traveling to New Orleans to meet up with another dominatrix to, quote, defile a house of God.
Well, it seems that she is, I believe she calls herself a satanatrix. I forget how the term for it, but she does believe in purposefully, like, technically, I feel like this weirdly fits under some sort of political movement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you went to do a thing at a church to show how little shit you give about the church, but also, again, show the hypocrisy of the church, where we're gonna get all riled up about sex. Meanwhile, you guys, all you do is lick the child.
Well, absolutely a interesting irony when it comes to this man taking over for a pedophile. If I am the person who is in charge of this church, it seems as if they're going to fire this priest.
Oh, they already did.
It might be the best thing that ever happened to him, honestly, because you know what would solve all of this? And this is like not a shocking sentence.
What?
Let these people get married. These priests, you know what they do? They just sip the bottle. They're alcoholics.
No, they're either
miserable.
A Catholic priest is either a child molester or an alcoholic. There is no in between. Sometimes certain neighborhoods, there are certain neighborhoods, which I was talking about this with Natalie.
You could be an asexual person.
Absolutely,
maybe.
Of course. But I do, there's a part of it. in one way, you're kind of like a rock star in certain neighborhoods when you're the priest.
Right? Yeah.
Especially Catholic priest, because they believe that they can heal you on behalf of God. They forgive your sins for you. And they are kind of, and they have a public speaking job. So kind of in a way, growing up in the church, you meet someone who's kind of like a fun, charismatic, funny priest, that kind of bullshit, and they absorb that kind of attention. And I feel like on some level, you could see why someone would be interested in being a priest if they were just looking to mix it up, if they wanted to be a star on Sunday.
The vice principal of Pacelli High School in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, Father John, before I got there, he was quite a character and very loved by everyone. And innocent. He's never been charged with anything. I don't know why you
have to
clarify
that. Never been charged.
Well, he's an innocent man. But of course, he was a very fun-loving priest. And he was a good guy. And then we had Father Steve, who was the in-the-closet priest.
I love an in-the-closet priest.
We had it all.
Those are my favorite. Are like the very nice in-the-closet priests. Yeah. That's a nice priest. But at the same time, they're being suppressed.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was good for him. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what was going on in the mind of that man?
We will get, but go check them out. Go, honestly, and I believe Melissa Chang has a GoFundMe trying to recoup some of the costs that all this is going to do. It's going to destroy her life,
essentially. No one should have their lives destroyed over this. Also, the person who snitched, get a life!
Get a life!
My God.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right. Give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Last podcast on the left is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. You don't want to miss Fluid Engine, because if you do, it ain't coming back around. It is a next-generation website design system from Squarespace with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. So let's say, we're doing well so far. We're moving these picks. If you want to move the Judge Reinhold non-clothed edition of a horse picks on the Clydesdale, you can drag it straight to your cart. It's that easy. You also can drag an entire giraffe ride trip for your family, because daddy gets the back of the head, right? You just drag that from the option menu straight to your cart and don't delete, because I'll know if you deleted. I'll know if you did it. Thanks to Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.com.
Hey! Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. That's one of my favorite things about it. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Now, personally, I'm in the middle of re-landscaping my yard. I like to do it myself because I called up a landscaper to see how much it cost, and it was absolutely insane. Plus, I love dirt. I love getting my hands in the dirt, and I love planting things myself. And Fast Growing Trees has given me some wonderful plants that I can use. Like, I got this Texas sage, it's purple. I've dug up a whole bunch of horrible bushes and shrubs up in front of my window and in front of my house and put some purple Texas sage up there, and it's going to thrive, and it's going to look real good. And I didn't even have to go to a nursery to buy it. It came to my house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEFT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LEFT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LEFT. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
All right. Well, we do have, and there's really no sex scandal here, but we do have a story about a Papa John's pizza franchise owner.
This actually should be a major crime to you.
Yeah, well, it's a major crime, although Papa John's has gone a little bit downhill. Raheel Chaudhry owns 61 Papa John's. So what did this guy do, you ask? Well, he asked his employees to record thousands of, quote, phantom covers. That's kind of fun,
that
isn't it?
I mean, yeah, but what that is, so basically they would just order pizzas and then not pay for them?
Well, sort of. But the government scheme was running, according to whistleblowers and sales reports seen by The Mail, which is one of the most reputable pieces of toilet paper in the history of the world. He is the U.S.'s largest U.K. franchisee because these non-existent meals were classed as, quote, eat out or help out. The taxpayer paid half the bill. I don't know how this works over there. Apparently, the taxpayer pays half the bill if it's an eat out or a takeout. I don't know.
Eat out and takeout, wasn't that a whole thing that Ruth Bader Ginsburg put together for women, women's lib?
I absolutely believe that to be true. Most of his restaurants were not even eligible for the offer, which required diners to eat in because they were collection and delivery only. Papa John's head office, which had told Mr. Chaudhry not to take part in the scheme, launched an urgent probe, and then they busted him last night. Fraud experts warned the suspected scam was, quote, tip of the iceberg, and highlighted how easily the government coronavirus schemes could be exploited.
Now, my question is, so no one got pizzas. The idea is that no one was thinking they were going to get a pizza, but then didn't get a pizza.
No, that's true. Nobody got screwed in that way.
Like Bernie Madoff, but with pizza.
Exactly. Whistleblowers say he was driven by, quote, greed, as his franchises had already seen a surge in business during the first virus wave as more people ordered takeaways. Isn't that interesting?
So people still got the pizzas that they needed, but he just would wipe out the orders and take the money himself.
Workers who raised objections were threatened with the sack or reduced hours if they spoke out.
Wouldn't it be kind of fun if he just had a big bag and that was what the sack was? That would then become Scientology.
So the same branches which did not allow dining in recorded more than 1,700 eat out to help out orders, despite the document showing that not a single customer was recorded as having, quote, dined in during this period. I don't fully understand why the government's involved in the pizza game, which makes this story a little confusing to me.
That's one of those things where, like, I want more socialism in my government, but that's one of those things. I don't want the government involved in my pizza.
Not at all in
the
pizza.
I don't want the government telling me what can go on my pizza. What goes on my tombstone is my choice.
Make the roads, make the schools better. That's the only two things I
think. Get government.
Out of my pizza. There you go. Now you're getting it. So Papa John's runs a franchise system, meaning individual franchise. We all know that. Anyway, that's the story about Papa John's. Managers were promised bonuses for hitting targets of fake claims worth than $500 to $600 a day for branches.
So everybody was making money.
One manager said, it was pure greed. He didn't need extra money. His franchises were doing very well during coronavirus.
Of course he needs more money. He had 61 franchises. He always needs more money.
Well, this is a different. He said because more people were ordering takeaways, which is delivery, which is carry out. Anyone who raised concerns got sacked. And again, and warnings that their hours were going to be cut. So this guy, he didn't. That's not good.
But you know what's funny is I could feel
this is why
the real Papa John somewhere. He's smiling.
You need the firm hand of Papa John to come in. Whap! No doing that.
No,
although I'm not sure if he would. He might encourage the scam.
Yeah, I think Papa John might be, he might be a bit of a skimmer. I wonder what he does. Because now he just sells merch.
Now he's just like, honestly.
He just sells Papa Bless shirts.
He technically has the exact same career as Jeffrey Epstein did, where you're like, what do you do?
What do you do?
He's a
fucking billionaire.
Yeah.
He's a pizza magnate.
He is.
Herman Cain. He died.
R.I.P. Herman Cain.
So he better watch if Papa John's fucking next.
Honestly, you never freaking know who Papa has pissed off. And the pizza game, we know the mob ties with pizza. It's real.
I know.
It's serious.
The pepperoni families.
You tell me that someone hasn't died over screwing up the pizza game. I guarantee you, no joke, guarantee you they have.
You go down to Napoli, The kind of gangsters that must Naples. Be deep in the fucking dough game. The guys out there in the Soprasada lines. They're you don't so know good. Fucking the Soprasada. When, yeah, you got to call a couple of tubes of Soprasada. Oh, but every once in a while, you fucking you hollow one out.
Oh.
You put a child soldier in there.
Oh, my that, goodness.
That's how they bring them into Italy.
No kidding.
Yeah, now you got all these child soldiers in Italy, and they're running around. They're the ones, you know, they're selling ice cream cones.
My favorite thing about traveling around Italy is every piece of art, every great building, they say, look how beautiful that is. And you're like, that is beautiful. And then they always clarify it was built by fascists. And then they always have to say, that's not good. And then we always say, but at least they did know
they
how to make art and they knew how to build
nice
buildings.
Nice statue. Yeah, thank you. It's like going by the Reichstag and you walk past and you're just like, oh, that's big.
Yep. Well,
they seem to really want a big, huh?
Look at that.
Speaking of wanting a big. This is a story. This is about traveling.
Okay.
This story. This comes
traveling.
From
I remember that.
Pompeii. Oh. You didn't come with us to Pompeii.
No, I did not. No, Brooke and I had a wonderful time walking around Naples.
You were
We did the
You would have been very claustrophobic in Pompeii. People used to be smaller.
I have a hard time with certain travels, and I knew you guys were going to be taking the boat.
It was a whole thing.
And I wanted to explore the urban we only had one day in Naples.
Yes.
Isn't that sad? But I have to say it was so beautiful. And it's like when you see a postcard come true, the old woman with the hair up, with the little, with the bonnet on, screaming out her window with her hands just so. And you see the little people on the mopeds and it was all real. And you're like, oh my God, this is how it actually is. Yeah. And it was really awesome.
And we'll never go back there. This is true. I honestly do believe that you should be very careful about what you take home from your travels. We can't all be Zach Baggins. We can't all have a paranormal vault in our Las Vegas mansions.
Be careful.
You have to be careful. Tourists return stolen artifacts to Pompeii after suffering curse for 15 years, which is a lot. This is according to CNN. A Canadian woman has returned five artifacts she took from Pompeii in 2005, saying that they have plagued her with bad luck. The woman, identified only as Nicole, sent two white mosaic tiles, two pieces of amphora vase, and a piece of ceramic wall to the Archaeological Park of Pompeii, along with a letter explaining her decision.
Well, they'll still arrest your ass, just so you know, if you do steal something and bring it back to the store and be
they
like,
don't just go like, thank you so thank much you. For being honest.
Life lessons don't work like that anymore in America. That's why if you're a parent, never call the police on your kid just because you think it's going to be like a tough way to teach them.
Don't
because once you
that.
Get them wrapped in the system, then they're gone, then the kids are gone, and then you no longer have a family. They've ruined it all for you.
They need your love more than they need the police.
They just get abused. Larry Lawton, check out his YouTube channel. Absolutely unbelievable. My question is this, though, Henry. She stole it in 2005. She had it for 15 years. Bad luck, 15 years. It's only 2020. We're going to need a sample size of at least 5 years after this. What if her life just sucks?
I mean, it's quite possible.
What if it's like, what if nothing gets better?
Quite possible. This is what she says. I wanted to have a piece of history that couldn't be bought, wrote the woman, who said I was young and dumb. Since returning to Canada, though, she said she has suffered two bouts of breast cancer, resulting in a double mastectomy, and her family has also been in financial trouble. We just can't seem to ever get ahead in life.
I don't think it's about the rocks. I mean, I think it's, you gotta get to
but
the,
this
so
is the thing
the doctor.
Too, I don't know if I fully believe in this, but she says, I took a piece of history captured in a time with so much negative energy attached to it. People died in such a horrible way, and I took tiles related to that kind of destruction. Which is sort of true, but I don't really believe. So she asks to please forgive my careless act that I did years ago.
I feel like she needs to have a relationship with the doctor and just like stay on top of it and make sure all the blood cells are doing what the blood cells are supposed to do. I don't know if traveling to Pompeii was the safest thing for her to do right now.
I don't know,
if
but this was before. This is before she had breast cancer. This is all before. She went in there in 2005 and
no,
came back.
No, but now she had to go deliver them again.
Oh, no, she mailed them.
She did mail them.
Oh, yeah, this is a mailing
job. She didn't travel. Oh, okay, I see.
It's not the only one.
Because I was going to say, if you have 15 years bad luck, the last thing you want to do is take an international flight.
Oh, yeah, because then you're going to kill 300 other people.
Oh, God, don't. If you are going through a spat of bad luck when we start traveling again, just do us a favor, and I will do the same thing. I will sit that flight out.
Yeah, tell me. Tell me if you've had bad luck, Kissel, and I'll know you've had bad luck by the state of your clothes.
Yes, indeed.
Now, over the years, it seems, this is not the only one. Over the years, around 100 visitors have returned small artifacts like mosaic tiles and pieces of plaster that they say that they stole during Pompeii.
Everyone's just stealing from this place.
You could just, I mean, it just rocks.
Yeah.
But the items were sent back along with letters from the visitors claiming to have derived only bad luck. A selection of letters and return artifacts has been put on display at the Pompeii Antiquarium. She added, noting that while the value of the artifacts was not significant, the letters were interesting from an anthropological perspective.
Mm.
It's interesting to see that many people have experienced bad luck from stealing something from such an important and intense historical location.
Pompeii needs to do what they do at the Great Asian Market, specifically in Brooklyn. They needed a wall of shame. With the CCTV camera footage, one snapshot, shame! There was one person who consistently stole gum from the store on Graham Avenue. They consistently stole gum. Their picture was up there multiple times.
I remember
shame!
That.
Shame! And they literally just say, shame on this person. And it worked. And if I was that person, I would feel horrible and I would buy them more gum.
It's just, why are you stealing the gum? Is it because you're so broke, or are you one of those people that gets a tiny sexual thrill from a little theft?
Maybe just a little, I don't know if it's sexual, but a little bit of a thrill.
I always think there's a little tingle at the end of the balls.
Could be. I don't know why people steal all the time. I say,
I did when
not
I
to.
In high school, I would take like little packs of gum because I thought it was fun, but
oh
then
my
I
God,
stopped.
In high school, we used to steal. Oh my goodness gracious.
I don't know. Is the statute of limitations still on some of your crimes?
Oh no, it was just cigarettes. And that was back in the day. This is old corner, old man corner, back before they had the tobacco products behind the...
Yeah, we used to be out.
You used to be out, yeah. And so you'd still, we stole so much.
God, man, when John Moreno worked at the Eckerd's, we used to just go and he used to fucking hand us out whole packs of cigarettes. And then he got in trouble, but then we all started doing... He started doing cocaine with the owner, and then we started getting cigarettes back again.
It's all good. Yeah, you got to sell them a little bit. Also, there was a great liquor store that had the Cabana Boy, the rum. And the Cabana Boy has a little naughty boy on the cover, and it's like his pants are coming down.
I hate that.
And so no one would buy it.
Of course.
It was right by the door.
Yeah, it looks like it's grooming liquid.
Well, I used to just steal that by the... No one even cares.
He's like,
I'm the little boy. And my friends, I've told that story where they're like, well, I don't want to drink it. It's because it's like gay rum. I'm like, who cares? Who cares? It's in a cup now. Have your rum. Cabana Boy is very good rum.
Ugh, is it?
Yeah, it's great.
Really?
Yeah, it's great rum.
When's the last time you voluntarily had Cabana Boy rum?
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, I think they stopped selling it. Maybe. Because, I mean, honestly, it just sounds like what you'd pour in a Kool-Aid to make your cousin go to sleep.
I don't know what happens, but anyway, all right.
Boy, Texas Pete is a sauce that allows you to sauce like you mean it. It's what people gather around, it's generosity in its simplest form, and it's a swagger people have who know what's good. Each Texas Pete hot sauce is packed with bold, balanced flavor. This signature tanginess is what makes it a legendary hot sauce that can be used on just about anything. It's been at the center of dinner tables since 1929 and is still heating things up today. You're definitely going to want to try every flavor. The original hot sauce has a famous secret blend of fermented peppers. The hotter hot sauce is 3 times hotter than the original, and not for the faint of heart. Sabor by Texas Pete adds authentic Mexican flavor, and their dust dry seasoning matches the flavor of the original hot sauce and a flavorful dry rub. Tell you what, the other day I was having myself a good old refried bean burrito, and I wanted a little bit of kick to my morning, so I got myself some Texas Pete Sriracha sauce, and I smothered those refried beans and that cheese and them eggs in a whole bunch of and it started off my day correct. Texas Pete, sauce like you mean it. Visit TexasPete.com and use the store locator to find Texas Pete products as well as purchase sauces and get recipe inspiration. And use the promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off at TexasPete.com.
Shopping for humans is hard, but shopping for your dog is easy thanks to Bark. It's because dog can't give you its opinion. But every month, we deliver dogs and treats just for your pup because they deserve to be spoiled. And then the dog shows you what they like. It's incredible. Only I could teach Wendy to use an iPad. She's so resistant. She scratches it up, barks at it, barks at me. But if she could use it, she'd order BarkBox for herself. At Bark, we send your dog a whole new collection of toys and treats made just for them every single month. And for a limited time, we'll double your first box for free. How about that? Wendy loves her little toys. Carmi has become quite a terrorist when it comes to her toys, and she's a murderer. She rips these things up, but, you know, we got some high-quality, tough toys from BarkBox, and she absolutely loves them, and our family could not be happier. And if you just want a slice of this joy, you got to go to BarkBox. To get your free upgrade, go to BarkBox.com/left. That's right. You can sign up now at BarkBox.com/left for this exclusive offer. This ad is now over. Let's go back to petting our dogs. Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. Yeah, basketball! Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Basketball! You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. That's all it takes. You got to make the right picks. And it's simple to play. You can make your picks and submit your entry in less than 60 seconds. It's incredible. Prize Picks, it's easy and fun. And if I were you, I would be keeping my eye on that LeBron James, famous basketball player. Is he going to get more rebounds this week, or will it be the next week? Will he get more points this time, or the points will be worse than the last time? All I know is I like his shoes, and I like his outfits that he wears from the bus to the locker room. But I can't pick those. But if I could, I would. Download the app today and use code LEFT for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code LEFT for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
It is time for Hero of the Week. This week's hero brings us all the way to Belgium. Very famous for their waffles and the good times and the good people, a naughty naked gnome is ordered to cover up. This is a topless statue. Its name is Betty. It's being deemed as too rude by Belgium's town authorities, but Louis Wills, who is 85 year young and kicking, 85 and holding, was told his scarcely clad garden ornament was causing offense. But he says, you know what? You know what? I am 85 years old. I fought in a war. I don't know what war they fought
in. I assume that they have.
And I am not going to cover up this garden gnome.
Look at the tits on this gnome. It's great.
He was told to either dress the gnome or remove it, but he is refusing to comply with the officials. You have to stand up for your rights and say, it is my yard, it is my gnome, and those fake gnome boobs are going to be flying high, letting people know, free the nipple.
What I don't understand is, why are we so prudish? Those nipples, those glorious big pink gnomey nipples.
Terry the gnome would be going crazy.
He'd be like, let me at him, I'll suck him till the blood comes out.
Oh my.
But if you look at these breasts, isn't that what children feast on? So we're going to sit here and we're going to malign the breasts of this gnome. Where technically, if you slapped a gnome child up against one of those tits right there, we're going to have this is going to be some kind of movement that's going to build up and people are going to protest. Oh, you're trying to cover up the natural beauty of breastfeeding. What about the natural beauty of breasts hanging?
Absolutely. I completely agree. Today's episode, it's themed on snitches.
It's a lot of snitches. Just gets down to it. What, are you this upset about this gnome's making you so horny you can't get through your day?
Betty, who was given to Lewis as a gift from a neighbor, currently stands proud.
She is very proud in front.
She's got two other statues there. Officials who patrolled the area last week said that Betty could no longer stay as, quote, it could possibly upset children passing by. We're not going to be creating all of our laws here. These children, they're doing just fine. Okay.
Again, they just saw the breasts. The food also, from them as infants came from a breast. It's just a breast.
It is a plastic gnome. Do you know what the kids are watching on the internet?
They're watching horses having sex with old women while the old woman's getting drowned in a tub.
And that's the first time. That's the first time they ever even look at porn.
Look at this. I would even say you might have a thing if this was like a full-grown woman nude out there in a gnome outfit. But I guess what? You know what I would say? Hire her.
Absolutely. Well, Lewis told VRT News, one of the better news sites out there, "I can't get my head around it. The city authorities have time on their hands to make remarks about my gnome. Leave him alone, or leave him a gnome. That's what I say. They have threatened me with legal action. Dress Betty, the gnome isn't made for that." That's what he had to say. The Garden
She's not made to wear clothes.
The Garden Center that supplied the gnome told the publication that it too was surprised at the request to remove it, saying, quote, "It's the very first time we hear anything like this. Betty and its counterpart, Raff, the gnome, are among our best sellers. We sell at least two a day."
Yep.
So, Belgium, you're going to have yourself a problem when everyone, any listener out there in Belgium, get Betty the booby gnome and put her in your front yard. And you want to make these authorities sweat. You wait until they're every single yard. We got to make sure that these officers are too busy to stop us from doing real crimes like smuggling meth.
I want to see 20 sets of gnome breasts
that
on every block.
20 gnomes. 20
That's
10 Bettys.
Gnomes.
No, 20 sets would be 20.
You're right. Said,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. But anyway, so people of Belgium, specifically, not all the people.
Isn't Belgium, doesn't the president not wear pants there or something?
That's why I'm a little bit surprised this is coming from Belgium.
Yeah, because isn't like, I thought it was like,
this
didn't
seems
Belgium
like,
invent like curated bush hair?
Yeah, this seems like it would be coming from like Arkansas or something.
Yeah, from here.
No. I know we're way puritanical when it comes to sex on every single level. And no, this is actually a Belgium thing.
I'll tell you what, we don't sell those in public. Here, no. I've never seen an open-tittied gnome before.
No,
because
I
if
not.
I did, I'd have it in my house.
Exactly. Lewis Wills, 85 year young, out in Belgium. You're this week's Hero of the Week.
You did a good job. Never let them cover those breasts.
Never.
And I actually say that
Stand
to all of our audience.
This is how he is going to have his Bill Cooper death that all 85-year-old men secretly desire.
Oh, of course.
A shootout with the police is theoretically natural causes for most men.
I think technically if he dies in a shootout with the police, we have to give him an American citizenship.
USA all the way. He's welcome to stay right here and he can put fake boobies on his tombstone.
I'll watch him all day.
Absolutely.
So here we go. This email came right in time because it's an email from a dominatrix.
Oh.
I'm a former dominatrix, an avid listener. In the episode of Diabolical Stew of Human Remains, there was a mention of male chastity cages.
We had
cages.
An episode named Diabolical Stew of Human Remains.
Yeah,
huh?
It was like 2 weeks ago.
No kidding.
There was a mention of male chastity cages and their unfortunate malfunction. Then the question of why the belts were getting high tech instead of staying simple and analog.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
In recent years, there has been a large shift, at least from what I have seen, in clients leaning more towards digital domination. This is for various reasons, such as they are married, embarrassed, too busy, or too far from a partner.
Okay.
So while the old lock and key is still favorable, being able to give that control over to somebody who is not there reduces the temptation to cheat on punishment. Oh, I forgot about that because that's the whole idea of cheat on punishment where you
Ooh,
don't
like
do
if
the
you
thing.
Eat the cheese and they're like, they have a cheese plate in front of you. And you're like,
And then you like that though.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
thing is that you actually like that.
No.
But often that gives clients the true feeling of having to relinquish that power. So instead of knowing they hold the key and take it off whenever they want, someone else does.
I always wanted that in life. I never understood how someone has so much power that they can have a moment in life where they relinquish it.
What do you mean?
Imagine? Well, I mean, how much?
No, yeah, we're control. We have like problems with needing control.
I just don't understand. Like, I have so much power. I have all this power.
I don't know.
I have the surplus of power. I just need a break from all the power. It seems like it would be kind of nice to have power.
I've had dominatrix friends over the years who always talk about it. It's always the guys in the Wall Street power suits that need to be spanked and humiliated and wearing the, I get you liking that. But it is a strange, I don't know how someone feels so secure in their quote-unquote daytime life.
I wonder if there's something with the bullies, because obviously we were both bullied in different ways.
But I thankfully didn't get hard during that time period, or
no,
maybe not thankfully.
No, but I wonder if the bully gets hard.
Of course.
So, I mean, you know, like I was abused in every single which way by these credents in the juniors and the seniors in this high school. Horrible people. But I wonder if that plays into their fantasies now, where they were getting hard that whole time and now they need to get paddled. Although I don't think any of them have power. They're all like, they're probably doing like chew tobacco competitions or something, which if you win, you do get quite a bit of, quite a bit of clout.
I feel like we just made a 2% group of our like entire listenership come. Like, I feel like we just, like, wandered into a world where there is a specific group that has been playing out the scenario for a very long time.
I was looking at the breakdown for OnlyFans. Black China makes $15 million a week.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Or is it a month? I don't know. Either way,
we are in the wrong business.
Yeah.
All right. So in 2014, I was a recently divorced single mom to two small children. Their bedrooms were upstairs, and a baby gate was attached to the wall to make sure they wouldn't come out of their room and fall down the stairs. I had a quote-unquote toy room set up for them that was down a short hallway from the living room. One night, one of my friends from work came by, and we watched Reanimator. Ooh. We laughed. We had fun. It was a good break from the loneliness I was feeling of being a divorcee. Aww. After we watched the movie and my friend left, I began cleaning up popcorn bowls and the various other snack debris when out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw one of my kids run out from the toy room located around the corner from where I was in the living room, stop, and then run back into the toy room.
Ooh.
Figure was a completely dark shadow, but in my mind that didn't register. Did the song "Tiptoe Through the Window"? That's our point.
Ooh, Tiny Tim, one of the best.
The figure was a completely dark shadow, but in my mind that didn't register. Just one of the one of my kids was out of the bed when they shouldn't have been. So I stomped after them, my mean mom voice ready to ask why they were out of bed.
Now that's the true horror right there.
I looked into the room and saw the dark figure standing there staring at me. The figure was child size. About 3 to 4 feet tall, completely black, no face or any feature visible. What? I quickly went upstairs to check and saw that the baby gate was still locked and both my kids were asleep in their beds. When I came back downstairs, the figure was gone, but I could still sense his presence. I went to the toy room and found it empty. As I turned around and decided to go back upstairs, I felt the boy's energy almost tugging at me in a playful manner from behind.
Oh my God.
Now, I did not feel this physically, but I felt it mentally. I stopped, afraid to look behind me and see the figure again. If he was still there, and I said, "Knock it off!
I need to
go to bed. Please stay downstairs."
That is the power of mom voice, by the way. It will transcend.
You can yell at a ghost.
Absolutely.
The rest of my time in this house, I saw the boy several more times, but I ended up seeing an old man pace the hallway outside my bedroom door every night. He would often stop and peer in on me, but never enter. I got a calming feeling from the figure, almost as if he was curious. It was oddly comforting in a way to have someone or something looking out for me and my two kids. I found out later that the previous owner of the house had been an elderly man that had passed away. I'm not sure if he died in the house, but obviously his spirit is still attached to the property in some way.
Well, it seems like a good, nice, friendly haunting.
It really does. I like a friendly haunting every once in a while.
But isn't that up to the eye of the beholder? I always think if you are haunted, just try to flip it, make it seem good until proven otherwise. You know, unless they're doing something super nefarious, like, you know, doing that potato routine with two knives and they put the potato on the bottom and it's like, those are not feet, those are potatoes.
That is just, you say wizardry, some people call it performance.
Well, those were great emails, Henry.
Yeah, weren't they?
All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening to this week's Side Stories. Hope you're hanging in there the best you can.
This Saturday, come and check out twitch.tv/lastpodcastnetwork, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check it out. We're doing Haunt Your House. This week's hosts are Amber Nelson, Holden McNeely, and myself, Henry Zabrowski, and my wife, Nelly Jean. We're going to be doing the movie. I believe we're watching the original Nosferatu, which I'm very excited for. And
Isn't that like 4 hours long?
No, it's all those silent movies, thankfully, were very short.
Oh, thank God.
But please check it out. And we are starting this stream on time.
Henry has been quite upset about the lack of timeliness, but of course we are working on it. And yes, the stream will start ASAP.
We will start on time, I swear. And we are going to get it out there. We're staying spooky. We're staying kooky.
This is the most like Clark Griswold you've ever been, by the way, at the time.
You know what happened? I bought a ladder.
You bought a ladder.
I think that's what I'm slowly becoming a father from a sitcom.
I would feel safer if you bought a loaded shotgun and had it next to your head. I don't want to see you on a ladder. I never want to see you near a ladder.
I'm scared of a ladder, but the new store had a great sale.
That's great.
And it's fun.
They're very nice.
We're having fun. So make sure, guys, it's Halloween. Live every day, spooky lifestyle. Go have lunch at a graveyard.
Yeah.
Just hang out there, man. It's kind of fun. You can just sit in there. And guess what? the police can't come in and harass you because they know COVID on the graves.
That's very true.
Is that true?
I think that is true. Maybe COVID in the grave, but not on it.
Laugh at the sheer idea that anyone would. I think a Halloween should be fucking 3 months long. I don't understand. Normally, some people get sick of a super long Halloween, but this year, you can really feel it. People are living the Halloween life.
They really are. They really are.
And they are laughing at it. They're laughing at the people that try to get revenge on them, and they just love the fact that every single person who comes at them, who keeps coming at them, because they miss. And every time one of these motherfuckers comes and miss, they end up in the fucking ground.
Yes, indeed. Well, if you shoot the king, if you shoot, go for the king.
Don't you fucking miss!
Don't take a miss there. You're going to want to make that shot. Congratulations, speaking of shot, to the Los Angeles Lakers. And also congratulations to you, Mr. Zabrowski. You were on the Miami Heat Instagram homepage.
Yay!
It's really cool,
that
actually.
Wolf of Wall Street meme has become, like, applied to many things.
That's when you were a classic sea otter.
I miss being Alden Kupferberg.
Hey, buddy, you'll be back working with DiCaprio and Scorsese.
What?
No,
I'm gonna be over there fucking catering for a birthday party.
Hey, buddy, you never know. They don't age. Okay, everyone, hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me. You gotta hail me.
Say something nice to somebody today.
Honestly, be supportive of someone's dream today.
Someone's, even if it's yours.
Maybe not yours.
Well, someone needs to be supportive of your dreams and you be supportive of their dreams.
Scratch each other's back, dreamers.
There you go.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.